You're listening to You Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. It is Monday, December 12th, and this is episode 25. My name is Andy, and I hope you all are doing well. I am joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
Doing great.
Good. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show. If this is your first time, welcome. Ute Talk podcast is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks, and we produce this once a week for your enjoyment. Please add us to your favorite RSS feed, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. So let's get into it. Probably have a short show for you tonight. We've in the past couple episodes, we've done a mixture of basketball and football. And you know, now that football season is winding down, we're really looking at basketball season now. So our Ute news. So Running Utes had two games since our last podcast. Utah Valley University, I believe, last Tuesday. And we beat them 87-80. And then we went on the road for the first road trip of the year for the Running Utes. And lost by 8, I believe it was. Let me double check it. Maybe it was 7. 8. Yep, 77-69. And that was against number 13th ranked Xavier. And quite the game there. And next game is Prairie View A&M, which is next Saturday, the 17th. And we'll get into that here momentarily. But Patrick, did you get a chance to watch any of those games or go to either one of them?
Yeah, I watched both those games. Watched the UBU game, and then I watched the Xavier game as well. So
yeah. What did you think?
Well, UBU game was a close competitive game. UBU, those guys came to play, and
they did.
The Utes, you know, struggled inside with UBU center, and
yeah, Isaac Nilsson.
Yeah, he took it to him at 28 points, 15 rebounds, I believe. And then the Xavier game, you know, the Utes struggled a little bit early on, but then they fought back in that second half and made a game of it. So the U team does have some fight in them, and you know, it was a fun game to watch. Both games were fun to watch. So pretty good team there that Utah has. I'm excited for conference play once it begins.
Absolutely. And the biggest news kind of regarding the Running Utes is now we get Cedric Barefield and David Collette back. And so, you know, the Ute team that you guys have seen the last couple of weeks is going to change a little bit here. We'll definitely see some movement within the starting unit. And, you know, some of these guys now that have been playing, you know, they'll make some decent bench players coming off the bench now and really be able to provide a spark. So I'm excited to see kind of the new makeup here in the next couple games. So
yeah.
Next news on our Ute news is Tim Coleman transfers. And this was kind of a shocker. Today, he decides to transfer, and not sure where he's going to be going, but he committed to Utah earlier this year. He's a guard out of Lee College, which is in Texas. And he came in, and he got injured shoulder, I believe, in fall camp. And ever since then, he's got to have surgery now, and he's kind of fallen out of favor, it seems like. You know, a lot of the new guards that have come in, obviously you got Bonham starting, Parker Van Dyke came back from his mission, is playing well. You've got the freshman in Devin Daniels, JoJo Zamora, the other junior college transfer, and then also Cedric Barefield. And so it seems like almost like the writing on the wall, unfortunately for Tim. I wish him the best of luck, though.
Yeah, just, you know, one of those cases of they got, you know, a log jam at, you know, kind of that tweener positions, you know, guard, you know, shooting guard, small forward. So just, you know, something that maybe, you know, he fell out of favor with the coaches, but I mean, injuries happen, and you know, if he's injured, I wish him the best, and hopefully he'll be able to heal up and catch on somewhere else and, you know, have a good career. But, you know, that's what sucks about injuries is, you know, if you have a lot of guys at the same position and you get injured, you know, you kind of get thrown out of the rotation. And, you know, if you're not, you know, if you're too hurt to work your way back in, then that's just kind of the name of the game. So
yeah,
hopefully everything goes well for him. And, you know, I was excited to see him play. I didn't know much about him. When they said Tim Coleman transferred, I kind of wondered who that was. But, you know, then I remembered that they did sign, you know, him out of junior college, and I was excited to see what he could do. But hopefully he'll be able to move on and heal up, and the Utes will move on as well.
Yep, absolutely. So best of luck to Tim. Sad to see him go, but he's got to do what's best for him. Next up on our Ute news is Mitch Wishnowski wins the Ray Guy Award. 3 years in a row, a Ute player wins it. Tom Hackett the last 2 years, and now Mitch Wishnowski.
Yeah, it's exciting. They don't win the Heisman over at the U. They win the Ray Guy. So
that's our Heisman, everybody.
it's good to have a good punter. You know, he gives the Utes a good field position, and you know, he's a great punter. It's good to have Hackett as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Utes just have had some great, you know, Louis Sakota. The list goes on and on. They, you know, punter you. They bring in some great punters, and they do a great job. And the thing about the Utes is they punt the ball a lot because their offense goes three and out a lot. So
yeah, absolutely. So congrats to Mitch, and great job. And there were three Australian punters as the finalists this year. I believe they were all from the same punting school as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think
so. At least two of them, Mitch and somebody else. But
yeah, it's those rugby genes.
Yes, exactly. And I'm going to let you talk about this one. Utes pick up a couple commitments this last week.
Yeah, the Utes.
So go ahead.
Got a couple of verbals from some pretty good-sized players. Orlando, I'm going to butcher his last name. I think it's Umana. 6'5", 320-pound guard. Big boy, could really come in. And he said he liked the U because they pull their guards a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a good guy to watch was Isaac Gaziata. Great guard who was great on pull when they pulled him. So big fella to bring in at guard. Another verbal commitment came from Ben. I think his last name is Moose. I think that's how you say it. I'm not sure.
Moos, but yeah. I believe it's pronounced Moose.
But he's a tight end. I think originally
from Pullman.
He's from Pullman. Yeah, yeah. I think his dad's like the something at Washington State. So a lot of people expected him to go there, but the Utes were able to get him to commit. So he'll be a good tight end. He's a good sized tight end as well. And then the other commit, Tariq Lewis, the cornerback, 4-star corner. So that'll be good to get him in there and bring him in, especially with all the defensive backs that, you know, are graduating this season. The Utes are definitely going to, you know, be young and new at that position. So it'll be mm-hmm. good to have a guy come in that's a 4-star who could make an immediate impact.
Yep. And the other one was Michael Richardson, American Fork, the other O-lineman. Keeping some local guys
here. Yeah, Jim Harding doing some good work, keeping that offensive line reloaded and getting some good guys in there so they can keep, you know, reloading year after year.
Absolutely. So, yeah, looking at these guys, I mean, you know, Orlando Umana, he had an offer from Washington, Arizona, Colorado State, Oregon State, and then Utah. And, he's a big boy, and he should do really well with the Utes if we can officially sign him. So I'm excited for that one. Rebuild that O-line.
And it shows that these guys are, you know, Pac-12 caliber players. They don't have offers from, you know, Idaho State or Fresno State or, you know, those kind of schools. They have offer from, you know, legitimate Pac-12 schools. So
exactly.
They're Pac-12 talent players.
Yep. Yeah. Ben Moose, Arizona State, Louisville, Nevada, and Washington State. So another big name guy there, or getting a lot of interest from other big schools. Michael Richardson, his offers were from Oregon, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Nevada, Oregon State, Utah State, and Washington State. So quite a few on that list.
Yeah.
So I mean, good on these guys getting some offers, but even better on the Ute coaches in recognizing talent both nationally and locally to really you know, lock in some of these guys. The Tyreek Lewis is big name guy, former 3-star, just got upgraded to a 4-star as a cornerback, and he had quite a few offers from some really good schools: Maryland, Colorado State, Iowa State, Kansas State, Massachusetts, Oregon, TCU, UAB, West Virginia, and obviously the Utes. So, you know, really excited to see kind of how these guys all fall into the place. And the Utes are in the running for a few others as well. Do you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of prospects that have tweeted out their tops, you know, top six, top seven, or whatever. And the Utes have been in quite a bit. I know the highly touted guy from Bingham, his name slips my mind. I know it, but I can't think of it right now. I think it's Jay. I don't know how to say his last name. Tufeli or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, I mean, Eno Benjamin. Utes made his, I think, top six.
And he's going to announce on January 7th.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Utes are...
And then you've got Taylor.
Oh, yeah, Taylor Katoa made an official visit. I know he's, you know, the Utes are pretty high on him as well. So,
and he's a 4-star receiver.
Yeah, and there's another receiver who verbally committed, now that I think of it. Trying to think of his name. He's a local guy. His name starts with a T. His last name is Jones, maybe. Anyway, the Utes are getting some legitimate recruits and getting some good Pac-12 talent coming in, and that's what, you know, that's what winning will do for you. And, you know, the Utes are continually winning every season, and recruits are seeing that, and they want to come in and, you know, try to help the Utes take it to that next level.
Is it Ty Jones from Provo?
Yeah, Ty Jones, yep.
Yeah, from Provo. There it is. Ty Jones from Provo, yep. So, yeah, a lot of good recruits possibly in the wings coming in. So these next couple weeks could be huge. And I believe we're in a freeze now, right, in recruiting.
Yeah, yep.
So no contacts. So now the recruits get to make their decisions. So
yeah,
we'll see where these players or these kids fall into place and where they want to continue their education. So... that is all we have for our Ute news. Moving right along here, we're going to recap our Utah Valley University win and then the loss against number 13 Xavier. So starting with Utah Valley, quite the game. Utah Valley, you know, recently beat BYU in Provo, and obviously looking to come up here to Utah Valley and beat us on our home floor. They definitely gave us a fight. Kenneth Ogbe, who was a former Ute, he didn't have a very good game. Utah pretty much shut him down, took him out of the game. Isaac Nielsen, who was a former BYU player, had a phenomenal game on the other hand. He ended up with 28 points, 15 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And then you've got for the Utes, the top player there would have been JoJo Zamora. 17 points for JoJo. Really kind of kept us in it down the stretch. There was a point there in the second half where Utah Valley pulled ahead. And I was just thinking, oh, here we go. We're going to blow it. You know, these guys don't have the experience. And shocking, it was JoJo down the stretch. He went 8 for 8 on free throws, really kept his composure, which was good to see for him. So what did you see about the game? I know we spoke about it briefly with the Ute News, but, you know, Isaac Nielsen really, really pounded it in inside, and he was showing everything he has in his arsenal down there.
Yeah, UVU is they're a scrappy bunch. They came to play, and they had a lot of fight in them and took it to the Utes pretty well. And like you said, when I think UVU went up, I want to say it was like 2 or 3 points. Mm-hmm. The second half, I thought it was, you know, pretty much over. And I think it was Rawson who hit a three.
He had a big three there.
And that, you know, put the Utes back ahead. And then they eventually won the game. But, I mean, Isaac Nielsen, he manhandled the Utes in the paint. He pretty much had his way. And mm-hmm. I think it just showed the lack of, you know, inside presence that the Utes have. They definitely need somebody to step up there. And, you know, maybe Collette's that guy as he comes back. But they, you know, Isaac Nielsen was able to just kind of do whatever he wanted down there in the paint. And
yeah,
nobody could stop him. So, but overall, I mean, it was a good game and, you know, a good victory for the Utes. Cause I mean, UVU, that's a good team. They beat BYU. Mm-hmm. I think they'll win a lot of games. They have a good coach there, and they have a good group of guys who, you know, they work hard. They're kind of maybe guys who are transfers or guys who maybe didn't get recruited, but they can play ball, and they definitely showed that against the Utes.
Yeah, absolutely. Utah Valley is currently sitting at 5-4 overall. So after the loss of the Utes, they lost by 1 point on their home floor against Utah State. And so, I mean, they're playing teams close. You know, yeah. Every game has pretty much been close except for their home opener, which was against Gonzaga. And, I mean, Gonzaga is a pretty darn good team.
Yeah,
so,
true.
So Utah Valley will definitely win some games here. They were given the Utes fits, and you talk a little bit about how Collette, you know, coming in and playing. So Collette recently was with Utah State. He had 31 games up there, averaged about 25 minutes a game, and he averaged 12 points, 2 blocks. 5 rebounds and about 1 assist and 1 steal. Shot about 59% my mind's turning into mush here, but 2-point shots, 3-pointers he really didn't take any at all. So we don't have to worry about that. He's going to be our inside presence both offensively and defensively, which is, you know, as we transition into the Xavier game, we could really see how Utah had kind of a zero presence in the inside. And, you know, a lot of it was, you know, just slashing to the basket by Devin Daniels or Bonham. We don't have, you know, that Jakob Poeltl, you know, where you can pass it in and you know that he's going to get, you know, a little jump hook or, you know, kind of a up and under layup. So Collette, I think, will come in. He is eligible to start playing for the Prairie View game, which is Saturday the 17th. And so look for him to really get involved with the team and kind of assert his presence. And then same thing for Bearfield. You know, mix in, and we'll probably see, you know, Parker Van Dyke go to the bench. And so you'll see Bearfield come up and be that 2 guard or I guess the 1 guard, and Bonham slides over to the 2. And then you've got, you know, you could do Kuzma at the 3, Rawson at the 4, and then Collette at the 5. or you keep Devin Daniels in there and you do Daniels, Kuzma, and Collette with Rawson coming off the bench. So a lot of interesting combinations, but needless to say, the experience that the guys have gotten these last, these first seven games is going to be second to none, once we get down the stretch here.
Yeah, I think, all the experience that they've got over, the first part of the season, just, with all the playing time that they've all received, it's gonna help them a lot come conference play. But I'm excited to see what Collette can do, because the Utes definitely need somebody in the middle. Against UBU, they got killed the middle, and then I know Xavier kind of ran a guard-heavy offense. I think they started like four guards, but
yeah,
the Utes still really didn't have that presence there to stop anybody. And then I'm excited to see what Bearfield can do and see kind of what he brings to the table as well. So it's going to be exciting to see and interesting to see what lineups Coach K comes out with and, kind of see who starts. But I think that, eventually the Utes will be able to click, and I think they'll do pretty well in conference play.
Yeah, absolutely. So with Bearfield, just to kind of give everybody a little refresh on who he is. So Cedric Bearfield came out of Corona Centennial High, high school in Corona, California. And he went to play for SMU, where Larry Brown is the coach. And he played a total of 16 minutes his freshman year. And he's deciding to transfer from SMU to Utah. In high school, he averaged 20 points, 4 assists, and about 1.5 steals a game. So not bad numbers. I wish we had something in the college game to go off of a little bit.
Yeah.
But his one college game that he played the 16 minutes in, I believe he went 0-for-4, and really nothing to write home about. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how he's matured from last year to this year, how he's grown into his body, and how he will fit in with the Ute offense. But he will be that that one guard, that true point guard that Utah so desperately needs. As we look at Xavier, that was kind of a back and forth game a little bit for the first couple of minutes. Xavier started to pull away. I believe they got up by as many as, 19 at one point. Mm-hmm. Utah closed it within 11 at halftime. And really the second half, the Utes really started to play well, and kind of everything started to come together. They ended up losing 77-69 on the road against Xavier, a very, very well-coached team. They're number 13 in the country. They have a lot of quality talent on that roster. But that second half was really encouraging to see. They came out of the gates, just ready to play in that second half. And really, I believe they got it within 4 points a handful of times, 3, 4, maybe even 5 times. It seemed like we would get within 4, 6 points, and then Xavier would go on a run. And then we'd get it back down, Xavier would go on a run. So, Utah's got the talent, but we didn't have that killer instinct to push us over the edge. And I think adding Collette's experience with Bearfield's, gameplay, managing the game, I think we'll definitely see some improvements to get us over that hump. One player, and you said you watched this game, what did you think of Devin Daniels? I mean, he had a pretty phenomenal game, in my opinion. 19 points. He had 1 block, 1 steal, 2 assists, and 3 rebounds. He was seemingly everywhere. And in a very big stage, a game that's on Fox, a game on the road, the first road game of his collegiate career, because remember, he's the true freshman from Michigan. He came out and scored 19 points on Xavier. And he did it in numerous ways. He hit a 3-point shot near the end of the buzzer that was several feet behind the line. And then he also had a lot of, cuts or slashes through the basket, and then even some kind of tip-in rebounds and things like that. What are your thoughts on Devin Daniels?
I was impressed by him that game. I thought that was, you know, so far that's his best game that he's played, and he definitely, I mean, he was hustling all over the place and, you know, doing things that, you know, we hadn't seen him do at the start of the season. So he definitely, you know, stepped up to the competition and he came to play, and, you know, I was definitely impressed by him. He took it to Xavier. He was, you know, one of the ones that really impressed me. He impressed me. I think, you know, Bonham had a fairly decent game. I think he had like 18 points. Yep. You know, I thought Kuzma could have played a lot better. I think Kuzma's been struggling a little bit with kind of the top level competition. I don't know.
Yeah.
He just kind of, I want to see more of an inside game from him. I think
he's settling for those jump shots.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to be more of an outside player, and I'd like to see him, you know, maybe back it down or, you know, get inside and get dirty. I just don't see that from him yet. Hopefully he'll start doing it. But yeah, I mean, Devin Daniels, he definitely impressed me that game.
Yeah, Kuzma had a double-double, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. But he shot 5 of 13 from the field and 1 of 5 from 3. You know, and I don't know if you want Kuzma shooting your threes that much, 5 of them. Rawson also went 1 for 5 of 3. I would probably say Rawson's a better 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
Not by much, but still, I mean, we need like, you know, Parker Van Dyke, 0 for 2 on threes, but he's probably our best 3-point shooter, and he's only shooting 2 of them.
Yeah.
And then you've got Kuzma and Rawson shooting 5 each. So,
yeah, they're definitely lacking that kind of outside threat this season.
Yeah.
I think Ogby definitely could have been that
for
them. But they're definitely lacking that to some extent. You know, they don't really have that 3-ball guy who they can kick it out to that's consistent at least.
Yep, exactly. So, well, it'll be interesting to see kind of how the Ute season goes along. Obviously, right now, UCLA is number 2 in the country. They are playing really well. They're 10-0. USC isn't too bad themselves. They're at 9-0. Arizona 8-2. Cal 8-2. Oregon 8-2. And then Utah 6-2. So, Utah is 2 games behind most of those people. Or most of those universities. So we'll catch up here in games pretty quickly once we hit the Christmas tournament.
Yeah.
UCLA is looking good with Lonzo Ball, and they'll definitely be the team to beat in the Pac-12 this year. I think Utah will definitely compete. Once Bearfield and Collette, you know, I mean, they're definitely not our saving grace by any means, but they're coming in at the right time to make an impact. You know, you've got, you know, these first couple of games, it was a very weak non-conference schedule. It was great to kind of get some of these guys their feet wet. You know, you got Devin Daniels, freshman. You've got Parker Van Dyke returning from a mission. You've got Zamora and Rawson transfers. You've got Jace Johnson, freshman, redshirt freshman. You know, so all these guys getting some really good experience against some Division I talent in some form. Now you've got Collette coming in who has Division I talent and has played against Division I competition. So these guys are coming in at the right time. So I'm really excited to see these last couple of games against Prairie View and then the the Hawaii Diamond Headed Classic. Yeah. There we go. Which that one's supposed to be against San Francisco. If we win, it'll be against Illinois State. And then I believe if we win that, it would be against like San Diego State. So definitely some good competition there for sure. And we'll look forward to that. And then started the new year is Pac-12 play.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because I mean, you'd have Prairie View next, and then Prairie View's not that great.
But nope.
I think San Francisco, they have been doing pretty well this season.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be a good game for the Utes. But yeah, like you said, I'm excited to see Collette and Bearfield, and you know, once all these guys, you know, get some good playing time together and get on the same page, I definitely think the Utes are going to be pretty competitive in the Pac-12, and you know, might, you know, get some upsets along the way. I definitely don't think they'll win the Pac-12, but I think they'll be up there, and you know, maybe, you know, third or fourth or yeah, whatnot, and be competitive.
Sure. Well, moving right along here, that's all we've got for our running Ute breakdown. We'll let's get into our Ute cues, and then we'll get into our preview of the Prairie View A&M Panthers. So Ute cues, here we go.
Now time for Ute cues, where we take your questions from Twitter and email, and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com.
All righty, so for those of you that do not know what our Ute Cues is, we post questions through our Twitter account at Ute Talk Podcast, and we want your responses. We're looking for your answers and your input, and we'll talk about them here on the show. If you have any questions that you are wanting answered, then please let us know and tweet at us, and we'll talk about it on the show here. So our first question, does Collette give the Utes the inside presence that they've been lacking this season? We didn't, unfortunately, have any responses to that one. But Collette definitely does give that inside presence that they have been lacking. You know, he's a good shooter from the inside. He shoots about 55% field goals, averaged, what, about 13 points a game, 2 blocks, about 5 rebounds, his per 40 minutes. If we want to go that route, you're looking at 20 points, almost 3 blocks, 1 steal, 2 assists, and about 8 rebounds. So he's definitely going to be that inside presence that we need on the offensive glass. And you know, it's desperately needed, you know, because right now it's just kind of spacing the floor. And then, you know, if Jace Johnson is inside, you know, you've got him to on the low block, but he hasn't quite developed any offensive moves yet. And I know I've seen pictures going throughout Twitter and social media of Coach K working with Jace, and I think he'll get there in time. I think, you know, he's starting to practice against Collette a little bit more and get kind of that experience in the low post and get some developing moves down there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Collette can't be any worse than what the Utes have had inside at the moment. So, you know, he'll definitely hopefully be an upgrade for him down there. They just need someone who can play down low, who can get in there and bang and fight for rebounds and, you know, get putbacks. And, you know, they definitely need someone also on who's a defensive presence down low. You know, Jace Johnson is just, I don't know, he needs to put some meat on his bones and get a little bit tougher. And, you know, I know you can also throw Rawson down there, but he's also kind of same as Johnson, just a little bit too skinny, not really, you know, someone who's going to get down there and bang. The Utes just don't have that, so hopefully Collette can be that guy and give the Utes what they need down there.
Absolutely. So we'll like I said, we'll see him in this Saturday against Prairie View. Should be exciting to see some new guys out there. Our other question that we had is, how big of an impact do you expect Bearfield to make? At Rick Caps 3, huge stability at the right time. And, you know, probably right with that. You know, and you could say this again with Collette, you know, Collette and Bearfield with their one with their experience and one with their potential talent, you know, that it is going to be a huge boost both offensively and defensively. I think Bearfield is an active guard, averaged 20 points, 4 assists, 1.5 steals a game. He played with former and I guess former AAU and current UCLA, TJ Leaf. They played on the same AAU team. And so I think Bearfield is definitely going to add a new dynamic to the Utes, and I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, he'll definitely add value to that backcourt, and that'll give, you know, if he runs the point, that'll give Bonham some time off the ball. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think Bonham is definitely someone who, you know, he moves well with and without the ball. So,
yeah,
it'll be good to see him kind of play that two-guard spot. You know, but Bearfield, I think, is going to come in and immediately make contributions on both offensive and defensive side of the ball. So I'm excited to see and kind of see this team, you know, now as a whole with all their guys, you know, coming back and all their guys getting together and playing. So I'm excited to see them gel and come together as a team and see what they can do.
Absolutely. Yeah, Bearfield is your true point guard. He played that in high school. He can definitely break defenders off, break the defenders down and get into the paint. He gets some easy layups. He's a willing passer, but he's also, you know, willing to shoot the ball as well. So I think he's gonna be a valued asset to the team. So that is all we have for our Ute Qs. So thank you those who participated. And again, look for our questions. We post them once a week, the morning of our show. And we want your answers. We want your responses to those. So tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast, hashtag Ute Qs, UTEQS. And let's get into the ending of our show here. Preview of Prairie View A&M Panthers. So the Panthers currently are sitting at 2-8 overall, 1-7 on away games. So they've had, they've had a lot of away games. they have played. So here's kind of their schedule: Oregon State, Fresno, SMC, which is, I believe, St. Mary's. UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, Lamar, Wisconsin, Houston, Kansas State, Texas State. So they've had some, you know, some good teams they've played against. So it definitely shows, you know, why they have lost so many. But their two wins are against Fresno, and this one is Jarvis Christian Bulldogs is their other win. So not very high-quality wins there. But they are part of the SWAC. So they've got Grambling State, Southern, Texas Southern, Jackson State, Alcorn State, Alabama State, Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Alabama A&M, and then Mississippi Valley State. So the SWAC is not really a high-powered conference there. The best team currently is Grambling State, and they're 5-6 overall. So Prairie View shouldn't really be much of an issue for the Running Utes. their point leader is, let's see here, if my computer wants to work, Daquan Cook. He is your current point leader for Prairie View. Let's see here. Yeah, Daquan Cook is your current points leader at 13 points a game. Compare that to our point leader in Kyle Kuzma at 15. Rebounds, Admasu Williams averages about 4 a game, whereas Kuzma, again, our rebound leader, at 11. And then you've got Jadonte Blakely, who averages 3.4 assists, and Kuzma is the leader there for the Utes at 3.3. They average excuse me, they average about 66 points a game. They allow about 83. They're shooting 41%, 30 rebounds, 12 assists, 4 blocks, and about 7 steals a game. Whereas you've got our running Utes at 83 points a game. They allow 64, 48 field goal percentage, 45 rebounds, 15 assists, and 5 blocks, and about 5 steals. So in every category, the Utes beat Prairie View. It shouldn't be much of a challenge for the Utes. That game is December 17th at 4 p.m. here at the John M. Huntsman Center. And you'll either see that game in person or on the Pac-12 network. I know I just did a lot of the talking there for Prairie View breakdown, but what do you have to add to that, Patrick?
No, I mean, you're good to break down Prairie View. I haven't watched a lot of their games, but
you mean you're not an avid fan of Prairie View A&M?
No. I see they beat the Fresno State Bulldogs, and then they beat the Jarvis Bulldogs.
Yeah, Jarvis Christian
taking
Bulldogs.
It out on the Bulldogs.
Apparently, so.
But yeah, I it's just another one of those games where, you know, the Utes shouldn't have too much trouble, and they should get a lot of guys playing time again, which is only going to help as they get into conference play. So, I don't expect Prairie View to really give the Utes, you know, that much trouble. Yeah. On the 17th, so hopefully everyone gets some good playing time. Colette and Bearfield can get some good playing time with, you know, the starters, and also maybe with the bench guys as well. Yep. Get them all some time together to, you know, come together as a team even more, and then, you know, move on to the San Francisco, and then in that tournament in Hawaii, and then come back first of the year, and, you know, hit the ground running in conference play and Pac-12 play. So it's exciting times. Coach K's done a great job up at the U. He's really turned the program around, and the Utes are definitely back on the map, not like they were, you know, years ago with Giacoletti, and, you know, after Bogut left, and they struggled with Boylan, but I'm excited for the Utes' future.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a great game for Collette and Bearfield to get involved in, and wouldn't be surprised if you see a good amount of minutes kind of go their way, especially if it's a blowout, just to kind of get their feet wet with the competition. They've only been able to practice versus each other, so this will be a great game to get them into. So, well, you have anything else for our Ute Talk podcast today, Patrick?
No, just excited for Foster Farms Bowl as well, but we'll hit that as it gets closer, and we'll hit recruiting a lot more. Yep. As it gets closer as well, and just hit basketball, and then basketball, football. That's going to be our focus. So
absolutely
to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you everybody for listening to Ute Talk. For our audio engineer Marty, Patrick, and I'm Andy. We will see you next time. And as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.